Parshat Tetzria begins with a woman giving birth, and on the eighth day, if it's a boy, a bris milah, and the process of her purification after giving birth, that she can be able to re-enter into Dvarim Shebekdusha, things of holiness. And the Chumash tells us the following. If she gives birth, for 33 days she remained in the blood of purity. She may not touch anything sacred. She may not enter the sanctuary until the completion of her days of purity. If she gives birth to a female, she'll be contaminated for 2 weeks. And then here's the operative pasuk in pasuk vav. Upon the completion of the days of her purity for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a sheep within its first year for an elevation offering, what we call a korban ola, and a young dove or turtle dove for a sin offering, a korban chatat, to the entrance of the tent of meeting to the Kohen. He shall offer it before Hashem and atone for her, and she becomes purified from the source of her blood. And these are the laws of the Yoledet, the law of the one giving birth. Nowadays, in source number 2, the article points out, it's customary that as soon as a new mother feels well enough to leave home, she goes to a synagogue, hears Kedusha, or a similar part of the service. It's also customary that after the 40 or 80 days when she would bring her offering, her husband is called to the Torah as a symbolic representation of the offerings described in this chapter. Two basic questions that I want to, Mirtz Hashem, look at today. Question number 1 is what seems to be a technical question, but within the technicalities, it's a tremendous amount of hashgafa. And that is, Rashi points out, quoting the Talmud, that although the elevation offering is mentioned first in the text, it first says you should bring a sheep within the first year as a korban ola, and then the young dove or turtle dove for the korban chatat, even though in the Chumash the ola is first. The sin offering is actually brought first. Thus, whereas atonement for sin is necessary in practice before the ascent to God, signified by the elevation offering, that ascent remains a central goal and is therefore mentioned first. So the idea Rashi, the Gemara, brings down that we need to explore is if the order always is that when you are bringing at the same time a korban chatat and a korban ola, a sin offering and an elevation offering, the sin offering is always brought first and then the elevation offering. Having said that, the Chumash puts the order in the opposite way here. Here it first speaks about the elevation offering and then the sin offering, and we need to understand what is the meaning, what's the symbolism behind the switch of order. Then we have probably more to our basic questions, and that Rav Nevenzel asks in his Sichos to Sefer Vayikra. First, he says, Shareini Tbonenan, source number 4a, Yoledetzu, this woman who has just given birth, she has no mitzvah of Piriya Verivya. She does this mitzvah anyway of bringing in a Tselem Eloki, a divine child into this world. And she suffers for this, right? She goes through pregnancy, she goes through childbirth, and it not only isn't she rewarded for all of this, in what way has she sinned? Why is it necessary for her to bring a korban chatat, a sin offering? What sin did she do? Fakir, she did a great mitzvah, she brought another child into the world. Further, he asked, why does she also bring a korban ola? When was a korban ola generally brought? So it was either brought when a person doesn't do a mitzvah aseh, or a lav halitak laseh, or on hiru halev lachto, or if a person has a mindset, they're planning on sinning, you would bring a korban ola. Those are the korbanot that you brought those are some aspects of the korban ola. Or there were times that you were obligated to bring a korban ola, like 3 times a year the pilgrimage to Yerushalayim, a ger, a convert who's converting, brings a korban ola, a nazir when he finishes his nazirus, and this whole group of people, the zav, the zava, the mitzaro, the yolede, which are people who are going through a purification process, they also bring a korban ola. And again, Rav Nevenzel wants to understand under what category exactly does this woman fool that she would bring this sacrifice. So this is our questions for today. One, what is the significance of the Ola before the Chatat, when it's practically the opposite? And two, why does she bring a Korban Chatat? In what way has she sinned? And in what reason is she bringing this elevation offering? Why does the Torah obligate her to do this? Now, again, obviously, we don't know the reason. Kodesh Baruch Hu said this is the reason. Having said that, we're trying to understand perhaps what we can glean and gain for our lives. And I'd like to look at this on two levels. One, focusing in on this woman as a woman, as a one who's just given birth. And the other, albeit at this individual, will put the focus more so on the fact that she's just given birth. And it's not just about her, it's about how she's going to raise her child. And for all of us, how we raise that inner child within us. So the shir is applicable to men and women of all stages and ages in life, because it's teaching us something much more fundamental. What was her sin? So there's a very fascinating Rabbeinu Bechaye. Rabbeinu Bechaye in source number 5 says the following. V'chiper alah. He gets atonement for her. Ein l'shon kapara nofel ki malachet. Anytime you have the idea of kapara, forgiveness, there must have been some sin that was done here. And it's very interesting. He likens this to the nazir. He says, ulaficha korban zesh yoledet mechudash ke korban ha-nazir. Also with a nazir. The nazir is called a chote. He's a sinner. Well, what way did he sin? Right? He sanctified himself to become closer to Hashem. In what way was he sinning? And there's a lot of similarities, as we'll note down further down this year, between the two. So he explains here the following. Says Rabbeinu Bechaye in the bracket of 5. V'yitachen l'farei she'ena korban hazeh mitzad chet shel atzma. We're not talking about a sin that this particular woman did. She didn't do a sin. She brought a child into this world. Rak mitzad ima. Shehi haita im kochai, kilulei hachet hahi haya adam molini mishto shelo b'derech taiva v'cheshech el b'derech hateva gavur. We're not talking about a sin that this individual woman did, but rather it is a throwback to the original sin, throwback to the original woman who sinned, Techava, the im kochai. Had she not sinned, then childbirth would not be a big ordeal. It would be like fruit growing on the trees. And in the future, it's going to return to that type of level. Because the branches are connected to the roots of the tree. And therefore, women who come from the original woman are all coming here to gain expiation for that original sin. And that's why Valken Yitzrichia Hakatuv Yitzrich Nena Hakatuv LeKorban Korban LeChaper LeChet HaKadmoni in the double squiggly, the original sin, and indeed because of that original sin, the woman has these three mitzvos of Nita Chadlan LeKasaner Ulefi Shachet Ahi Hayat Chila B'Machshava V'Acharka B'Maseh. Therefore, because Chava originally sinned with thought. Oh, this tree looks beautiful. Oh, this looks like a wonderful tree to eat. I will be godlike. It began in her thought process and then went into the world of action. So therefore, to reflect this, the korban first is mentioned is the korban ola, which is mechaper, which atones for sinful thought, and then for the actual sin that was done by eating of the tree. So according to Rabbeinu Bechaye, we're not talking here about a sin that the individual woman has done, right? There's a classic answer, which we'll get to in Source 7, 6 and 7. But before we get to that classic answer, let's step back, right? As far as saying, you should learn Chumash, and if you've never seen it before, to be able to have new understandings that this is coming, each and every woman giving birth is coming because we know, as the Sfarim point out, that all of women, all womankind were found in Chava. All mankind were found in Adam HaRishon. So it's not like, oh my gosh, this is what she did, and therefore I need to, you know, pay back for what, you know, her sin was. No. All of us, all women were in her. So it's all of our sin. And since it's all of our sin, we all have to gain forgiveness for the sin, and therefore every time a child is born, and we go through the reminder of the punishment of Chava, Be'etzav Tol Dibanim, at that moment, we are trying to gain expiation for her sin. This explains Notzi Klayakar, who brings this idea down. He says, this explains when the Gemara says that perhaps she swore while she was giving birth that she will never give birth again, which is a classic answer, that perhaps maybe she was angry at Kadosh Baruch Hu. That perhaps she's angry, Hashem, how could you give this punishment to women? So because she expressed either mentally or verbally this notion that she's angry at Hashem, that is, again, all wrapped up with the original sin. Like, Hashem, how could you punish her in this way? Why do I have to suffer in this way? And again, it's leashing out at Hashem, really as a result of the original sin. And that's why this is hinted at, says the Klei Yakar. V'yesh kidmur remes l'zeh mima shekatu v'tahara mimkor dameha. She's purified from the source of her blood. She'im nishba'a b'kasa v'adai v'tichat hatamim. This is like the blood source, the anger. And what we're really talking about is the original source. And that original source is obviously the source of Chava. So, on the first level, we understand that what was the sin of this woman? Absolutely no sin in it whatsoever. She's part of the conglomerate sin of Chava that she needs to get expiation for. Moving it a little bit further home, perhaps she did say things against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, how he could possibly punish Chava in such a way that she has to suffer. And that perhaps is the thoughts or the speech that she had. We all know the Gemara in Kritos in source number 7. Achein ein chat'at hayoledet ba'dafka al-chait. It wasn't specifically a sin. Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that perhaps in the moments of labor, she'll swear, I never want to be my husband again. I never want to have any children again. Right? I don't want to go through this again. Once is enough. And because she thought this or said this, this is the sin that she has to atone for. That explains why he says at the end of 7, the Klei Yakar echoes this as well, that for a boy, the period of time is shorter than for the girl, because the boy, there's a lot more simcha that's involved. She gets over the trauma of childbirth much faster, right? She's shalom zachar, and she has the bris, sometimes the pidyon haben. And a girl, it's a much more, you know, prolonged period. We'll just add here in a very beautiful insight, and sometimes these insights are just worth gold. This is one of those gems. The Yosei L'Torah Saruskin Rav explains in source number 8, this is why when she brings the Korban Chatat, she only brings one of the turtle doves, and not both. And we know that the Sfarim tell us that the turtle doves are very loyal to their spouse. And the one turtle dove is sacrificed, the other one is going to mourn the rest of its life on the loss of its mate and will not take any other mate. And that's a reminder to this woman, look at this turtle dove, how much she loves her mate, that she refuses to find anyone else. And that should be an inspiration for her on how much she loves the woman, loves her mate, and that she does want to raise a family, and she does want to continue to have children. So that explains the chata. That explains the sin offering, that perhaps she said things that she later regretted. What about the korban ola? So the Barbanel brings down, why do we have this korban ola? And he says, sha'ola ba'k, in source 9, second paragraph, k'dei she'yoledet tikrav liyotra, that this woman will be able, a korban ola is completely consumed, that she'll come closer to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Why? Asher asayima lafli, that Hashem did a miraculous thing with her by saving her from the throes of childbirth and giving her a beautiful child. And it's really a hodah l'Hashem. It's really giving thanks to Hashem for saving her and for gifting her with this child. On this, the obvious question comes up, if that's the case, madua be'emet shelo tevei kvar korban todah. If we're saying that the korban olah, which was given over completely to Hashem, was really a way of connecting to Hashem as a thankfulness for all the goodness Hashem did, so why not just say, bring a korban todah? Why are we saying, you know, it's an olah completely to Hashem, why not just the korban todah? So Rav Nevenzahl offers two insights that are very fascinating. One, he says that the Korban Todah had to be eaten in one day. Hainu l'yom echad v'layla echad, one day and one night, unlike other shlamim, which could be eaten for 2 days and a night. Why? Because the whole idea of Korban Todah is that experiential, emotional feeling of gratitude toward Hashem. And gratitude toward Hashem, we know human nature is that it peaks and you're excited and you're feeling the passion. And then over time it wanes. Even over a day it wanes. So we put the whole focus of Korban Todah in one day to really feel that feeling of thankfulness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because we know, Kach gam v'chastei Hashem, in the asterisk and tem, kichol shecholfim hayamim, as the days go on, pochetet hitpa'alut ha'adam min ha'tzala shaita merachoko, we become less excited by what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, and therefore it's packed into a small amount of time. So now we know in Source 11 that, as we saw in the Pesukim, a woman who's given birth, she can't bring her korbanos right after she's given birth, right? She has to go through a purification process first, depending for a boy, for a girl, which was a considerable period of time. So already, by the time she would give this korban, that initial excitement has waned, right? These sleepless nights, you know, that you know, newness of that child has, you know, habit and life has kicked in. So because it has lost that initial flavor. In fact, he said that what we have today instead of a Korban Todah is Birkas HaGomel. He says that we know that people say Birkas HaGomel by a Sefer Torah. He says, however, if a person is able not to be by Sefer Torah, but within 3 days to have 10 people to say this bracha, that might be even preferable, because you don't want to wait 3 days within the time that this great thing happened to you. You want to express that thankfulness as soon as possible, because that's when the passion is. So because this woman is going to have such a layover of time, we're not mechayev her. We don't obligate her. Obviously, if she wants to, for sure she can bring a Korban Todah. No one's stopping her. But we're not going to obligate her to bring a Korban Todah, because we know that that pitch of excitement has waned. However, bring the Korban Olah to show by complete dedication to Hashem. The second aspect is, we know the Korban Todah was a whole animal, and 40 or 36 loaves of bread were given to the Kohanim. That's a lot of food. And it has to be consumed in a very short time. So the Netziv explains in the asterisk of 12, Shebekavana gazra tarakach. The Torah specifically mandated this, Kedei sheitzterecha makriv lasvim b'nei mishpacha v'yididim rabim l'sutat ha-todah. Because you want to bring as many people as possible in order to publicize the miracle. And therefore, we have a lot to eat, we have a lot to finish, so the more people come, the more they're able to consume the food, as well as to publicize the miracle. Having said this, a woman, particularly a married woman, may not feel comfortable, al snias, ein tsniyut shetamo lemul kolam, that she's standing in front of all these people, that everyone's looking at her, and everyone's talking about her. It's kol kvuda b'melech p'nima. The glory of a woman is inward, and she may not feel comfortable in doing this. Now, obviously, again, if she chooses to, fine. But we're not obligating her to do this, because it's going to put her in a position which is counter to the nature of a woman, the nature of Sneas. Just to put all of this together, with this we can appreciate that when the woman is bringing this korban, it's really echoing the idea of Chava herself. Because we know in source number 13, the Medrash and Reishi Rabbah speaks about that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to create Chava, he contemplated from where in Adam's body to create the woman. And he says, well, I don't want to create her from her head, so she'll not hear, bear her head proudly. And I don't want to come in from her eyes, she not be overly inquisitive. It goes to each part of the body where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is afraid that it will you know, be used in the wrong way. The Medrash ends, it's a very famous Medrash, V'kol ever v'ever shayah boreba, from every limb that Hashem created her, he created her from the rib, which is a private part of the body, and when Hashem formed the Isha, for every limb he created, he said, and with each and every limb that Hashem created in the woman, he would say to her, Tehe Isha Tznua, be a modest woman, a modest woman in Isha Tznua. So the whole idea of the way Chava was created, and again, we are all a composite of that original Chava, our wiring, the way Hashem envisioned us, is to be in the world of the inner. It's the world of privacy. And therefore, it makes sense, therefore, that the korban that she's bringing in order to atone for the original sin of Chava can't be brought in a way that's going to, you know, show attention to her. It would be counter to what the whole idea of the kapara, of the forgiveness of Chava, is about. If we're trying to forgive the sin of Chava, we have to do it in a way that's going to be aligned to the personality of Chava, and that alignment is through tznius, is through modesty. It is important to point out that the Medrash, the insights in the Arsko points out that we know that Chava spilled the blood of Adam. She led astray the chala of the world, and she extinguished his soul. To rectify this damage, our matriarch Sarah, as well as we'll see all of us, observe the mitzvahs of Nida, Chala, Nadlaka, Saner. That Sarah had a special connection to these is obviously in the Medrash. We all know that these things came back when Rivka Imenu married Yitzchak Avinu, and these were the things that were found on the in the Beis HaMikdash. The patriarchs, the matriarchs are the roots, and we, their descendants, are the branches. The power of the roots to repair the damage wrought by Eve flows into the branches as well, and it's expressed in the special mitzvahs of Nida Chadla and Hadlaka Saner, lighting the candles, Shabbos candles that are, or candles for Shabbos, yeah, that are the special province of all Jewish women who are the loyal daughters of our great matriarchs. And we know that Chava, that just like Avraham came to atone for the sin of Avraham came to atone for the sin of Adam, so too was Sarah chosen to rectify Chava's sin, and all of us as a continuation are here to rectify that sin. So when we're involved in these mitzvahs, the mitzvahs of Nida, Chadla, and Hadlaka Saner, we have to be mindful, right? That's why the Halacha Sfarim points out that you should take Hafreshas Chala, do the mitzvah of Chala on Erev Shabbos, because that's when Chava and Adam were created, right? Adam was created Erev Shabbos, and she affected the Chalato Shel Olam, right? Adam was like, he was made from the earth and water. It was like Chala, dough. So she affected his pristine nature. So therefore, again, as a rectification, since it happened on Friday, one should do the mitzvah of Hafreshas Chala on Friday as well. So again, when we're involved in these mitzvahs, we should be very conscious of the fact that all of these mitzvahs are about, on the one hand, the rectification of the sin, with the eye that this rectification of the sin will ultimately bring about full expiation and therefore be able to bring back the times of Adam and Chava and Yemos HaMashiach. Perhaps with this, we can perhaps say, it's a thought, that we know that before these three mitzvahs of Nida, Chadla, and Laka Saner, there's an union of giving stucca. Shabbos Secrets, Rabbi Mezel Sefer in 78, quoting the Kaf HaChaim, it's a great mitzvah to give stucca with joy before kindling the Shabbos lamps. It's customary for women to place some coins in a charity box before lighting the candles. I personally like to give, as a wedding present, a beautiful stucca box. I think it's like, you know, a special present that a kala can use. And something you usually don't get too many of, not like challah knives. I don't know why those are more popular. I don't really want to know why they're more popular. We'll leave that out. For mystical reasons, it's recommended that a woman give three small coins for stucca. And we know, Siyo v'mishpati pateh v'shaveh b'stukah. Pasuk in the beginning of Yeshaya, Perek Aleph, that Sion is, Zion is going to be redeemed through acts of kindness, of justice, v'shaveh b'stukah, and they'll return through charity. So we see that there's a koach of stucca to bring the geula. So when we're involved in these special mitzvahs. For women to be able to give tzedakah beforehand again gives us a bird's eye view of not only looking in the past, but also looking in the future, that the sin should be completely forgiven, that we should be able to be brought back to that pristine state. Okay, so that's the first idea. The first idea is focusing in on the woman as a yoledet, as a woman who's giving birth. She is the continuation of man, of woman, from the original time. And every time she gives birth, and every time she's involved in these mitzvahs, what she's really going through is the process of purification for that original sin. Good. And again, the original sin happened thought before action. Therefore, in the group of the psukim, the ola is before the chatan. Now let's take a look at a second level. And here we're focusing in again on the individual, but the individual in terms of modeling for her child, being machanech her child, and really, as we mentioned, to be modeling and teaching the inner child within us. And this is very relevant at all ages and stages of life. What was her sin? So it's a very powerful idea of Rav Zaitchik in Or Chadash, where he points out the following. He says, I hear Chazal say, perhaps she said something that she doesn't want to have children again. Granted. Let's take a look at this on a Musar level, on a level that we can learn a lesson. He said, Mimalach v'teva yanim, v'u shibashah shadam nimsa v'meitzar v'lachos kasha nafshi ugufani. When a person is in a very difficult situation, whether physically or in a painful situation or in a difficult emotional state, you come into those are moments where you suddenly have like life staring you straight in the face, and you ask yourself those questions that, you know, sometimes we're afraid to ask. What is the meaning of life? What am I doing here in this world? What's my purpose? What's life all about? And this is a tremendous time to make decisions that will bring me closer to Baruch Shalom. You know, I really should be more careful with. And I'm going to work on. And these are moments that we grab these moments and make tremendous amount of cheshbon nefesh. Arrow 16 continues. Rav Zaitchik, aval im bo harvacha pirov hadam mitalem umashkich milibo atetur amut hanafshi lelehi giy b'mitzukato shafafal to lifnei zman ma biyoto rovetz tacham asad yusurab. What happens? The pain is gone. The threat is no longer present. And things are back to quote-unquote normal. Like, you see this now in Eretz Yisrael now, you feel like COVID is b'chaste Hashem behind us. Masks are starting to come down, and people are just, you can see, feeling freer, right? So when COVID's happening, and once, you know, in their, you know, in bidud and alone, and you're saying, oh my, like, what is life about? And you have meaning and appreciation. And then you go back to quote-unquote normal life, and like, all of this becomes, like, I don't know if you want to call it a nightmare or a dream, however you want to take a look at it. And then we fail to carry through. You know, Hashem, you did this for me. I am going to. And then we forget. And we don't do this. Ubevadai shiyachas kazeh. Obviously, it's not a sin in a way like, you know, eating pork. However, there is a moral sin here. And that is, you made a commitment to become stronger and greater and closer to Ribono Shel Olam, and you don't follow through. And this is what the Torah Kedoshim Melamedet Teach LeTekno. And this is what the Torah is telling us how to fix this. Definitely, as the woman is in the state of childbirth, which is a very precarious state, she's making all of these, you know, if everything goes well with me and the baby, then, and fill in the then. However, Ubimolodja made Tara, but after that period, everyone's fine, the baby's fine, the mom's fine. She should bring in Tavika Parao Chat Asha Chata, She Chotat Al Asher Pirshami Nidrami Rura Tovim. She's no longer on that pristine level. She's not following through necessarily with the commitments that she made. And that is the idea of the chait. Again, chait literally means lachtia tamatara, to miss the mark. And obviously, and I'm sure many of us are thinking this, this is exactly what Rav Zaitchik brings in 17 of the Ramban. What was the chait of the Nazir, of the Nazirite, that he's called a Chalta? Like, what sin did he do? He was, you know, coming closer to Hashem. And the Ramban and others say his chait is leaving that state, that he doesn't maintain that state. HaNazir hu l'raglei chait ha'afseik v'anituk min kava machshavot n'alsof n'alot. He has moved away from those high, pristine levels of closeness to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that's why he has to bring a korban, a sacrifice, as a kapara. And obviously, the lesson for us before moving further is to us to be able to recognize that when we have these moments of closeness, and it could be this, you know, like a zap where we suddenly have that insight of what we're doing here, or where we have a difficult challenge with ourselves, with a member of our family, whether it could be medical, psychological, whatever it is, and then you're able to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Don't lose those moments of closeness. Halamud mimemarenu zeh she'elo matanot Hashem u'munakim la'adam b'chol eit mitzo al na chalila yizalzel b'hem. These are gifts from Hashem, these moments of closeness. Sometimes you almost wonder if Hashem creates these moments that we should reach these levels of insight, these levels of closeness. But rather, v'yachartam aluach libam libo l'mishmeret l'kayimam l'akshimam b'chayim, that we should be able to actualize the thoughts that we had. You know, Hashem, if you get me through this, then I'm going to be more careful about, and whatever that more careful about is. And then when we are careful about, those allow us to come back to those moments of closeness. And now, why am I careful about this? Ah, I had that moment of insight. I had that moment of closeness. And it's able to perpetuate those feelings of closeness, those feelings of relationship with Hashem. With this, we can appreciate, perhaps, what Rav Mintzberg Zal speaks about in Ben Melech, where he says that what is the chait here? Again, she didn't sin. The woman didn't do anything wrong. But the fact is that she's been through a period where she was distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She was in an impure state, distant from Hashem, and now she's coming back, similar to Metzoris, a person with leprosy. Anyone who was distant from Hashem and now comes back needs to bring a sacrifice. Again, the sacrifice is one of closeness to Hashem, one that's going to be able to reconnect. So it's not so much a sin that she's done, but the reality of distance from Hashem, whether it's a technical reality of the Ben Melech because of her impurity, or the psychological reality that she created that distance by not following through with her closeness to Hashem. Now, with all this said, now let's get to the core. And that is, what is the significance that the Korban Ola is before the Korban Chatan? So, based on what we're saying, we can have a deeper appreciation. The answer that is quoted by a lot of the contemporary Sfarim is the answer in the Sefer Nachlat Eliezer, Mashkiach in Gates Head Yeshiva. Let's learn together source number 20. Korban ha'olam mesamel et ha'matara sofit shabakashat ha'shlemut ha'mitit b'yotah mekurevet kula l'Hashem. The Korban Olah is about being in a state of complete connection to Hashem. Ve'ilu ha'chatat matzpia l'amsei v'aderech l'asagat ha'matara. And the chatat are the process to get there, the falling, the challenges. Shekein ofi ha'bitzua ma'asi shel shifa l'gdol. In order to grow, you have to go step by step. And the steps begin, the sur meira, and then the aseto. Stay away from the bad, to get to the good. So we understand why practically the Korban Chatan is first, because that's getting away from the bad. And then you have the Korban Ola, which is the vision of connection to Hashem. Based on what we just said, just to fill out the picture, when we understand the Korban Chatan is this reality of her being farther away from Hashem, she brings the Korban Ola to remind herself of that level of perfection, of what it means to be close. The Korban Ola almost brings her back to that moment of childbirth. And she needs to see that in front of her. So the technical is you bring the Korban Chatan, that she is far away. But she needs, in order to appreciate how far she is, that she hasn't followed through on her commitment, to have the vision of the Ola, to have the vision of where she could and should reach. Let's bring this into our lives. Let's leave this woman for a few moments and let's talk about you and me. Rav Dessler, who quotes this idea that the Ola is kodemet lachata'a, he says the following. He says in Source 22 by the Dot, Koma, Shebavodah pnimit shel adam, in the inner workings of a person, kodemet avodah tikun shoma shekilkel b'madrigato b'china chata. You have to begin step by step where you've messed up, and that's what you have to work on. Right? I have to work on this, I have to work on that. Before I can even talk about the higher levels, I got to make sure I'm aligned to get there. And I have to work on all those things that are blocking me from connection to Hashem, which is the Bechina of Chatat. However, he says, but in the pristine, in the Lemikra, in the way I understand this, the Ola is first. Why? Shekena tamadriga hal yona af shadayin lo igiela. That higher level, even though you haven't reached it. Sarichu akol parim ladav lavin lifnei shegamar davodara tikum b'madriga tona. You have to have a vision of what that higher level looks like. And Zeh HaKlal 23, L'maset Tzarich Adam Lavod Rak Betem L'Madragato. Of course, you have to work step by step. And you can't go Asur Likvot V'Ladalei L'Madragot L'Chavanot Shem L'Malo Mimenu. You can't be on levels that are beyond you. Aval Chayavim Anu Lomo V'Ladad Afet Abachinos Hal Yonos Shevel Yonos Kedei L'Varir L'Atzmenu V'Lipo B'Lovenu. Ki Ashkafam, you said it, Raka Osagor HaMadragot HaTachtona, HaKol Heva V'Tohi. You're only able to move step by step if you have a vision of where you're headed, right? You know, the game we used to play as kids, go to the head of the class, you had to get to number 100, right? There is a goal. So obviously, in the Torah Svi, Rosvi Kuchelevsky, Shlita says, in Avodas Hashem, it's impossible to leapfrog. The only option is to make a step-by-step progress based on one's current situation and level. Having said that, I can't just get stuck on my level here. If I don't have a vision of who I can be, who I should be, who I'm supposed to be, then there's going to be nothing propelling me moving further. I'll just be dragging my feet, you know, up and down the first rung on the ladder. I need to have a vision of who I am. So the Ola is first with vision. Practically, I have to work on step by step the Chatat. But at the same time, I need to know where I'm headed and have a vision of how to get there. This idea of knowing where we're headed and how to get there is an idea we've learned a number of times before in the Sifte Chaim, Rav Chaim Friedlander, that I just want to highlight. We're not going to do the whole essay inside, because I want to move a little bit further, because we've done this, but I want to highlight some of this idea. He speaks about the idea of tshuva. This is in Chelek Aleph of Sifte Chaim and the Mo'adim. He speaks about why is it so often that people try to do tshuva. You know what? I'm going to work on. I'm going to, say Hashem I'm sorry for. And it doesn't last. And it just, after a few weeks, months, days, maybe hours, it just reverts back. And he says the problem is, Yisod HaTshuva V'Atzlachata Yirah Kasher Yesh Shifa Gdola B'Tchilat HaDerech. You have to have a vision. You have to have an aim. You have to have a desire at the beginning of the way. And he says if you don't have that, then you can just fool yourself to think that you're moving somewhere. But if you don't see the whole picture, you have no idea where you're moving toward. And the example that he gives, I think it's just such a The fundamental idea is that anyone who builds a building knows that you first have to have an architectural plan. You have to have a blueprint. And you have to, you know, set up that this is where everything's going to be. You know, we all familiar with perhaps there's this house on the coast, going up the coast of San Francisco. I forgot what it's called, where it's a tourist place where there was no architectural plans. And you go up a staircase and it leads to a door. And one room just stops in the middle. Like, and it's fascinating because it's absurd. No one would build a house of stairs going to nowhere. No one puts wall sockets in places that you know, at the top of the room that nobody can reach it. There has to be a kitchen, has to have faucets, period. Like, we know basic things. So if you understand that for a house, in order to live and to function, needs to have a plan. Well, can you imagine what our lives look like without a plan? Well, look at your life. I mean, not personal, but look at many people's lives. Do we have a vision, even when we'll speak about soon, getting up in the morning? Do we have a vision for who we want to become? Do I have a vision after 120 years I want it said at my, you know, at my funeral, at my obituary, that I was, we'll fill in the blank. And now, lead a life. You want to be a balas chesed. You want to be a person involved in the mitzvah of, whatever mitzvah it is. You want to be a person who's going to be dedicated to whatever, you fill in the blanks. That's a vision. It's building a room, and then when you finish one room, you can move to another room or another part of the room. It's being able to move in this way. And this idea of having a vision, of knowing where we're headed, is the understanding on a deeper level, he says, and this is 26 through 29, of the Ben Sora Mora. The Ben Sora Mora, who's this child, right? Short period of time, 13 to 13 and a half, who steals and who drinks a certain amount and eats a certain amount, is glutton, and he's killed al shem sofo, because he may go out and kill people in order to get his money, v'chule, v'chule. So the question the first he asks is, like, what did this boy do? Okay, he's stealing, he's doing things that he shouldn't do, but, you know, he's only 13 years old. So the Ramban says that what is this boy guilty of? The boy is guilty of not being careful about kadoshim tiyu, of being holy. He's not careful about votidbak, of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'osot havodu, serving Hashem. So you read this idea and you say, hello, most of us aren't holding on a level of kadoshim tiyu. Most of us aren't holding a level of v'osot havodu. And you expect the 13-year-old to be holding there? And the answer is the following. And again, Im Kay, Shabbat Olad Tmiyah, double squiggly 27. Ha'ima Madrigok Vohovin is Kavoba Vadat Hashem Tovim Narbin Yod Gimel Shana. I'm holding a 13-year-old responsible for this. Ha'imu Musugala Gil Madrigok Tovekur Shem Shmechoma Savachoma Shvatav Yurat Lashem Shemai. Can I expect? I can't expect of a 50-year-old to do this. Can I expect of a 13-year-old to do this and you're going to kill him for this? So the answer, my friends, on one level is B'Yurein Yonah 28, Adam Miyad B'Tchilat Darko Sarich L'Rov Oladadet Matarav Kivun She'ilav Alav L'Hagia. Where we're being held responsible that he's Nidono Shem Sovo is not that he's not holding on these levels right now. It takes years to hold these levels. But he doesn't have a desire. Hatviyahi Al She'enu Atashifa V'Kivun L'Madreka Elu. He doesn't even, he's not even looking in this direction. If he's eating glutton and drinking siman sheinu deklal bisman shomet bibchilat darko et hamataravi kivun sheilav u'sarich lishov. He doesn't have a vision of where he should reach, what he should be able to accomplish in life. That's his problem. Not where he is now. But I'm holding him responsible that he should be having a vision of the greatest closeness to Hashem. And indeed, all of us need to know this. We all need to have in our minds that we're working towards v'alachta b'drachav, of following in Hashem's ways. That we're here in order to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, this is how the Ramchal, the Masil Shishorim, begins. Yesoda Chassidus in 30. V'shara Shavoda Tmima Shizbari V'yisamin Etzal Adam Mahi Machuvaso Balomo. A person has to know what their obligation is in this world and what we're supposed to accomplish. And then the Masil Tisharim goes through all these levels that, you know, Chasidus, Prishus, Tara, Vodas, you know, Ruch HaKodesh. Will most of us reach that level? Who knows? But Yisbarav Yisamidei Tzol Adam, what we could reach, what we have the capacity to reach, what we should be aiming for, that my life is aiming for the highest, that I want to have this close connection to Hashem. I may be successful, I may not. But I need to have the Korban Ola in front of me at all times. That's why this Yoledet, this woman giving birth, that's what she needs to keep in mind in terms of her children. Obviously, it's Tefillah 31 is a main component to daven to Hashem to be successful. And this component of Tefillah is not only for ourselves, it's for our children as well. Rav Zaks in Menachem Sion explains. He says, the she'ifa is a tshuka, it's a desire. There is a reality, but if the tshuka, if the desire is a great desire, v'imani rotzim b'metzius gedola, leinu lakdim la she'ifa gedola biyoter. If I want my children to come out in a special way, I want them to be great, then I have to have a great yearning for them. And, Lifnim kasher nildu yolodim lorim. In the days gone by, parents used to have a tremendous she'ifa that their children should reach the highest of levels. When you had that desire for your children to reach the highest of levels, then nisharu l'chol pachot tamidei chachamim v'yireim. Then at least they came out to be fearers of God. Hayom she'ifa saharim chukatam nikvasu v'dayla hemi b'neim yomudu lipalel v'yidu she'inam yudim. Today, we so often have so limited visions. We're just happy if they're stay from. And when you have limited visions, you know, you shoot for the stars. You know, you'll reach somewhere up there. You shoot for something low, you're going to reach something low. This is our challenge. When this woman is giving birth, it's a message for her, and particularly as a parent. The Korban Ola comes before the Chatat. Think big. Have great aspirations. Kalil, the Ola, is given completely over to Hashem. That should be your vision for your children. It may not come to be that way. You may get caught up in one Chatat after another, but if you think big, the chances are you will reach greater heights of bigness. And he says, and this is like a Valdic insight, he says, we say as an Al-Chait on Yom Kippur, one of the Al-Chaits we have is Al-Chait Shechatan Lufanecha, the asterisk in 33, Bitzarus Ayin, in narrowness of the eye. You know what narrowness of the eye means? It means a lot of things. Hainu B'she'ifa Mitzarav Ktantana, that I have lived little vision for myself or my family. That's the Al-Chayt for Tzeres Ayin. My friends, this is our challenge. This is the message that the Chumash is teaching us. When we're talking about Chinuch, we're talking about the beginning of a child, the beginning of a process. Know that you have to have vision, and you have to work toward that vision. If you're only going to focus on the Chatat, clearly it's first, but if you're only going to focus in on what I'm doing wrong, and the small things in life, you're never going to move beyond that. Dream big. And when the dreaming big is that push force that pushes you toward bigness. There's a new English Sefer that came out that I highly recommend. It's called Sphera in Our Lives, Chani Jeravel. It goes through the 49 days of Sphera, and it goes through the different Spheros, Chesed, Gvura, Chesed Shebechesed, Chesed Shebegvura Shebechesed, and what is the Sphera about? What is its message? Chani Jeravel's a therapist, very well-known, very, very good reputation. Mechanechet par excellence. What is the Mida that we have to work on, and how does it relate to our lives? And for every day, there's a today call to action. So she speaks about, on the last day of the second week of the Malchus in the Gvura, she speaks about the Vort by Moshe Rabbeinu saying, source 34, Lo uchal od latzeit v'lavo, I'm done, my life is over, so I cannot go anymore, I cannot grow anymore. But you, who do still have the gift of life, the greatest thing you can do with it is to keep on going, moving, keep on admitting that I have somewhere else to go. My father's dad used to say that the worst adjective his children could use about themselves is that they're comfortable. Don't be comfortable. He told us, always have the next goal you want to grow toward. The Midah Gvura is not about being hard on ourselves. It should stem from appreciating the Malchus within. And the call of action, think of a goal you have. What has made it hard to move toward it? Think of how you feel achieving it. Think of yourself as deserving to get there. Now write down the first step you'll have to take. This is what our lives have to be. Our lives have to be whether a major Korban Olah or minor Korban Olahs to get to that Korban Olah of a vision. And this is the idea the Old Moshe brings down in the footnote. Rousseau Solanter, Kinar Yisrael Vaveyu. Klai Yisrael is referred to a nar, a child, therefore Hashem loves them. You know what's beautiful about a child? They're always growing. They're always moving. And hence, from Simchus Zissel of Kelm says, Chanok Lanar Pidarko Gam Kiaskin Lo Yastir Mimenu. Even when you get educated child according to his way, even when he gets old, he won't deviate. He won't deviate from what? From the Chanoch Lanar. From the idea of constantly moving, of constantly growing, of never being satisfied within oneself. So this is the paradigm that we have here. We have the paradigm of have the Ola in mind, and then the practical ramifications is first do the chata, first do the small things, but never forget that goal of the Ola. Another place you see this, Mishchat Shemen brings down in a beautiful essay, which has a lot of ideas, we're just going to focus in on two, is by the mitzvah of the Arba Minim. The Chumash tells us, you should take Ulekach Lelchem B'yom HaRishon, Priyat Tadar, take an Esrog, Priyat Tadar, Kapot Varim, Anatzei Tavot, Arvei Nachal, right? First the Esrog, then the Lulav, then the Hadassim, and then the Arava. However, when you take a look at the Mishnah Masechet Sukkah, and you take a look at the Halachot Tzvarim, it first begins with the laws of Lulav, then it goes to the Hadassim, then the Arava, and then the Esrog. Hello, the Chumash specifically says the Esrog first. And again, on this level that we're speaking about, the Esrog represents, we know, the heart, the purity. But to get to that purity of heart, you have to work on your spine, you have to work on what your eyes, what you see, what your mouth, what you say. So again, the Chumash gives us that vision, like the Korban Olah. There's a vision here. Then the Halacha speaks about in order to get to that vision, you got to work on improving the different limbs in your body. Once you've reached that, you can once again be able to get to that tachlis, to get to that vision of that purity of the heart. Now let's take this a little bit further, my friends. If we understand that in life we need to have a vision, if we understand that in life we need to have that Korban Olah, that we have to have goals in life. Our goals have to be to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our goals have to be chesed goals. Our goals have to be that we become the greatest we can be. And whatever we're working on, that we set for ourselves goals that move toward there. If this is true, in general, it's very much true in our Avodas Hashem. Says Mishchat Shemen at 39, Muzeh yomad hadam lichlod avodah nabori barach shmo, shekasher osek b'maisa mitzvos v'kiumam, hinei afshel maaseinu yodeyat asodona niskavim matunim v'chol maaseh mitzvah. Even though we don't know the depths of every mitzvah that we do, but we should have umnam yeshlo lasim in the asterisk l'neged einavet amatara tachlitit. You should have the goal of what mitzvahs is about. Shiliva shifato, shilosesh shifato lagia, where you want to get to, and that is the veikus v'kirvos l'Hashem Yisbarach. So I say a brach of shakol, I daven, I do a lot of mitzvahs. Within all these mitzvahs, I don't always necessarily, you know, feel connected. But place in front of me that vision. I want to be a person of connection. I want to be a person that's close to Ribono Shel Olam. Mitzvahs get me there. So even if I don't understand how every single mitzvah is going to get me there, when I have that vision, I'm already moved toward that reality because that's my mindset. That's where I'm headed. And he brings down here, he says that oftentimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us a present we will suddenly feel that connection to Hashem. We'll suddenly feel that closeness. And then it will make it so much easier, the next group of mitzvahs that we do, that I'm moved toward that emotional reality because I've experienced it. And that's a gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to all of us, that He shilotam, that Hashem lends us these moments in order to move us further, which is very much what Rabbi Miller speaks about in 41 and 42, what Sefirah Somer is about. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down on the night of Seder, right? We see at Mitzrayim with such a susa tilayla, an awakening from above. And it was such closeness. And then Sefirah Somer, we have to build ourselves back there. But I have a vision of what it was about. So I'm able to move toward that vision. And then ultimately, we have Mimachorat HaShavat HaShvi'i, the Shavuos, where Hashem once again will buttress us with another form of inspiration. And recognize that this is what our lives are about. And therefore, in 43, V'kasher Adam Yisrael yinaheg b'derech zeh shebechol mitzvah sheyaseh yistakel al atid, when you're able to focus it on the future, v'yidat ha-matarah sheleh rotzeh lagia, asu mo'il levadato ma'od, that's going to help you out, because at least you have the foundation. You're on the right highway. And then there's more of a hope that you'll have that siyata d'shmaya to be able to connect to Hashem. So if I understand that the chait on this level is the sin of having the opportunity that Hashem granted us, a gift, to come so close to Him, and we didn't grab this opportunity. So the Yoledet is told, you know, this is the kapara. First, have in mind the Ola, connection to Hashem. Then the Chata, then see where you've messed up. Then see where you've lost those opportunities, and try to get back on track. Try to get back on track, Sur Meira Asay Tov, being able to live that vision of greatness, that vision of perfection, of moving toward goal-oriented in life. I want to add two caveats here that are very important. One is, it's important to have goals, because even if you don't reach the goal necessarily, says Rav Pinkus Nefesh Chaya, on the idea of Kimarei HaBazak, you can have a lightning, a bolt of a taste of that greatness. And that in itself is greatness. The example that it gives is a person is chatting on the phone and she knows it's about to be Lashon Hara. So she could say, you know what, I always speak Lashon Hara. I know I don't want to speak Lashon Hara. If a woman is able to say, you know, I'm a person who doesn't want to speak Lashon Hara, I fool. But my Ola is I don't want to speak. That even if 9 times out of 10 I do speak, if I can grab onto that one time that I don't speak, it's like grabbing onto that lightning bolt, that in itself is tapping in on some level to that wholeness, to that perfection. You may want to say, you know, I'd love to say all of Tehillim every day. It's not a reality. By saying a few chapters, I'm touching in. If it's greatness to finish the entire Sefer Tehillim, then reciting a few short chapters is the glimmer of greatness. When there's an opportunity to grab hold of the glimmer, do so. You can't say that our goals are all or nothing. It's a process. And even if we can't reach the entire goal, at least grab for something. Be a person who's on the lookout to be able to follow these goals. What's our problem, says Rav Freifeld? Our problem is that we don't have it's not that we don't have the opportunities to grow. It's that we don't have the proper will and desire to grow. In all circumstances, there are always excuses. The kids were sick, the boiler broke, I had to work overtime, I'm tired. But they don't explain our failures. We fail because we despair of being successful. We fail because we not believe that we have within us to succeed. It is not the interposition of obstacle that prevents us from succeeding, but our own lack of confidence and determination and sheer will. We fail because we're making a mistake, because the truth is that we do have within us to succeed, because the truth is that each of us possesses the most incredible, divinely empowered instrument that can help us smash all obstacles, and that is called the human will, the rutzon of a person. And Rav Freifeld brings down, he says, I once saw an old Hasidic sefer that when a person gets up in the morning, the first thing he should think about is Olam Haba. He shouldn't think about a cup of coffee. He shouldn't think about his problems and responsibilities. There's a profound message here. A person is sleeping and he wakes up, his day is about to begin, and the tone will be set by his attitude toward his coming. He can think, all right, here, Here we go again, another boring day, full of toil and trouble. What kind of day do you think he's going to have? He's defeated before he's even started. But imagine, 47, if he thinks about old Hapa. He opens his eyes, the first thing that goes to his mind is that he's an immortal being, a spark of the divine en route to the next world, the eternal world, that he has to use this day to accomplish and achieve something. How different he will feel when he gets out of bed with a buoyant heart and a spring to his step. How fortified to face the challenges of everyday life. How helpful and encouraged by the greatness of the enterprise of his existence. My friends, that is our challenge. Our challenge is to be able to put the Korban Ola before the Chatat, to model this, to mechanech our children. Aim high. Aim for the stars. Look for this greatness. Look for the opportunities of connection. Even if we're not successful, at least we're on the right road. We'll grab moments. And we have that right perspective. We get up in the morning in the right frame of mind, that it changes the entire day. I am a Korban Ola Jew. I may have my fallings and failings of my Korban Chatat, but I'm a Korban Ola Jew. And as, just to tie it all together, as we who are here to gain forgiveness for the sin of Adam and Chava, what we're really about is trying to bring ourselves and the world back to Gan Eden. And the way to do that is to envision that each and every one of us has the ability to bring the world to a greater place of godliness. Each and every one of us has the ability to bring the world to the next stage of Bias HaMashiach, where we aim for this type of greatness, when we aim for this type of closeness, and these type of goals, then we're able to set our heights and our visions to be able to find ways that I, as an individual, am able to be successful in these endeavors. And with Siyata Deshmaya and a tremendous amount of tefillah, we will see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us moments of inspiration, moments of clarity, people to help us, that indeed our lives will be a Korban Ola type of life.